It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. Good to have you here. Today I have a special guest here at the studio. We have my trusted companion, Mia, the Wonder Dog. So in case you hear some barking, that's who that is. It is my little dog, Mia. And so good to have you guys here. I have been fighting my cold. I know that we have discussed this several times, but I think I finally beat it down. So I'm not coughing as much, but on the slight chance that there is some coughing, and you might hear a pause, maybe a longer pause than natural, because I'm hacking my lungs out on the other end. And I'm despairing you from that, so that's why the dead air. But a lot of good stuff happening. Good to have you here. You know, I hope that you have been diligent with your goals. I know that we talked about writing the goals down, and we've talked about reviewing those goals. But here's the deal. 95% of Americans have stopped, given up, or have derailed themselves from their goals, right? They're no longer pursuing them. And a lot of that comes down from just not writing them down and not reviewing them on a regular basis. So that is part of the trick. So hopefully you're not one of those 95%ers. Hopefully you're in the 5%, right? And you can take pride in knowing that you're going to be on track and that 2017 is going to be a super, super successful year for you because you're going to be diligent. Couple of interesting things happening. Let's see, what's coming up? The Arnold Sports Festival that I attend every year with my friend Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is an event that he puts on in Columbus, Ohio, coming up in March, the first week of March. If you want to come out and hang out with us, that'd be great. And then there was something else happening, I thought, before then. And if I think about it, I'll bring it up in case you want to come out and meet me at that event. But I think there was – anyway, so I think there's one happening in February. Don't know where that's at because I'm a little flighty still. All right, so let's get this party started. My first guest, Kevin Norris. Kevin Norris is the CEO of First NRG Corp, an energy exploration production company headquartered in the lovely Denver, Colorado. I failed to properly prime my teleprompter. So I have to bring up his information real quick. So bear with me as I do a poor job of introducing my first guest today. But I'm excited to talk to Kevin because, you know, I think that energy is obviously something that we all consume. And specifically, he deals with coal bed methane. And I want to kind of dive into this and get the good, the bad, and the ugly. And for whatever reason, my teleprompter is not cooperating with me. So let's just get the show started. Kevin Norris, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, good morning, Bert. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. So first of all, tell us a little bit about First NRG Corp.
First NRG Corp is a small, like you said, energy company based in Denver, Colorado. We've been focusing our activities on coal bed methane development up in the Powder River Basin of Wyoming. We've got a little development there in Ohio, but our main activity has been chasing coal bed methane in the Powder.
Gotcha. All right, and so when you say chasing coal methane in the Powder, what does that mean? What does that mean to us consumers?
Well, coal bed methane is natural gas. Methane is the main component in natural gas. Our gas is very, very dry, so we don't have all the associated pentanes, butanes, propanes, those other light hydrocarbons that are found in conventional reservoirs. The methane is just a byproduct of bacteria basically eating the coal and decomposing the coal.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, all right, gotcha. All right, so let's talk about this. I want to address this first because there's always these issues of, you know, is this clean? Is this harmful? So let's talk about the environmental impacts of coal methane.
Well, natural gas is a clean source of energy. As a country, we still get 81% of our energy from fossil fuels. Somewhere close to 25% of that comes from natural gas. Renewables are on the increase. Uranium, nuclear is about 9%. I think renewables are about 10% too. So as we move away from fuel oil, and coal, you know, the next big step is clean burning natural gas.
Gotcha. All right, so let's talk about some of the trends happening in the natural gas market. My understanding, and I want to have you kind of correct me on this, is that in 2016 there was a decline in production. Is that right? Talk about some of this.
Yeah, you hear a lot that the country has, you know, a massive supply of natural gas, but the truth is we supplement our supply with imports from Canada. October, the latest numbers reported by the EIA, daily dry production was about 70.6 BCF of gas a day. We consumed about 76.4. Natural gas production was declined 5% since its high of February 2016. And as a matter of fact, where current production levels are what we saw back in June and July of 2014.
Wow. Okay. And so this decline is based on what? Is it because we are using other fuel choices, or what's the reason behind this decline, you think?
Actually, it's a result of the of companies not replacing reserves. The rig count hit 82 rigs exploring for natural gas in August, and that's the lowest it's been ever since they started keeping track of it back in 1987. The consumption for natural gas continues to increase. It's increased about 2% a year since 2012. So really the decrease in production is because of has been mainly price driven. A lot of associated natural gas comes from horizontal drilling with the collapse in oil prices. Horizontal drilling basically came to a stop. You can't drill horizontal wells at $50 oil and make any money. There are certain places you can, maybe down in the Permian Basin down in Texas. But for the most part, horizontal drilling came to a grinding halt, and the associated gas with all that drilling, you know, stopped as well. So it really is a function of energy prices the last few years.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, and I know a lot of people hate it when I say this, but one of the benefits that we as a country get when we have high oil prices or gas prices at the pump is that the country starts looking at alternative fuels like natural gas, electric cars, these renewable sources that help us get off of oil addiction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. We're addicted to oil. No doubt about it.
Yeah. So, and it's just too bad, as you said, it's just too bad that, you know, when gas prices drop, oil prices drop this low, that a lot of things are put on the back burner. I mean, natural gas, the development of electric fuel or solar energy is put on the back burner. All this stuff stops. And it just goes to show you the short-sightedness of not only our government, but I think of consumers in general.
Yeah, that's probably true. And we, as a country, we need to have more of an all-the-above type of solution to our energy issues. You still get a bigger bang for your buck with, you know, coal and oil and natural gas compared to, you know, the BTUs, the energy generated from solar, the costs, of wind. You know, the wind doesn't blow all the time. The sun doesn't shine all the time. So there has to be, you know, an all of the above and wean ourselves off of fossil fuels. But because we use so much and our infrastructure is such that it was geared to and for fossil fuels for so many years, it's going to take some more time, a lot of money to make that transition to more alternative fuels. But, you know, as a country, we're getting there, and it's a resource, and we need to protect it and use it wisely. We're actually seeing prices up a little bit, so we're seeing more activity, in especially in the basin where we are. You know, we've got a number of projects teed up. We're looking at a couple natural gas pipelines to expand our area of operations. Prices are up $1 from where they were last year, and transportation is a big component in the cost of us getting our gas to market. And so by acquiring these pipelines, we're going to have more control over what it costs us to get to market. So the infrastructure's in place, like you say. You know, as we get more and more alternative fuels in place, and we become more energy efficient with cars and electric and windows and everything that we're doing, you know, the country will become more energy sufficient and possibly become an energy exporter. We'll just have to see how that goes.
Yeah, that would be the dream, wouldn't it, for us to be an energy exporter? You know, I want to talk about this a little bit because you mentioned, you know, again, you know, the current market for natural gas suppliers, you know, it's getting a little bit tighter there. And so you talked about the pipeline that you guys are putting together. What else is First NRG doing? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we're teeing up a number of acquisitions. We just announced a letter of intent to acquire another 600 coal bed methane wells up there in the Powder River Basin. We've got a number of opportunities that are on the blackboard, but not to the point where we can announce anything yet. But the decline in gas prices up in Wyoming in the natural gas area for years has created a lot of opportunity because a lot of people have left. A lot of people are doing have just gone out of business. And so there's, sure, at least up where we are in Wyoming, there's a lot of opportunity to pick up stranded wells, wells from companies that are in financial straits, and really take this opportunity where prices have come up to capitalize on the situation and add to our reserve base and the value for our shareholders.
Gotcha. All right, so let me ask you this. What do you see happening here in, let's say, first quarter 2017, or what is your first, second quarter outlook for 2017?
Well, we're trying to get these acquisitions closed. You know, our biggest impediment is capital. You know, we're not doing $50-100 million deals where a lot of the investment bankers like to do bigger size deals. So we're putting together a portfolio of larger transactions and putting capital to work with the acquisitions. So we're working on both sides. We should have this pipeline closed this first quarter. Hope to have this acquisition of these 600 wells closed this quarter as well. And then tee up a bunch of new activity for the second quarter. So with gas prices up, a lot of activity, we're excited.
Sure, absolutely. And so my understanding, and I got this information yesterday, and my understanding is some of your wells or a large portion of your wells were inactive in December of 2015. Is that right?
Yeah, we were shut in. You know, the economics of 2015 caused some of our partners to have some financial difficulties, and, you know, the rock rolls downhill, and that impacted us.
Sure.
So we're having to recapitalize and attract new money and show the value of our reserves. We also have a number of wells, locations for wells that we can drill. So with prices up, and we think we can grow generically through the bit and also by acquiring these other assets. The pipeline itself is going to be critical because it gives us access to over 100,000 acres. We don't have to go out and sink a bunch of money into an acreage play. The Powder River Basin coal bed goes from, you know, the eastern side where there are large open pit mines where the coal is outcropped, to, you know, back west towards the Tetons. It's a huge, huge area, and having access to a pipeline gives us the ability to pick and choose areas along where this pipeline is. And quite frankly, there are thousands of wells up there that have been shut in, have been abandoned. And with gas prices up and the ability to control the transportation, we see a large amount of growth headed our way here in the next couple of years.
Sure, sure. Now, let me ask you, as a whole, are you guys expecting, I guess, some positive, what's the word I'm looking for, support from the Trump administration? I mean, Trump is definitely energy positive. He's definitely business positive, and he definitely wants to grow businesses. So it seems like it's a good time for your industry with this new administration.
I got to think that's true, Bert. We haven't seen his proposals come out on exactly what he wants to do. I know he's back in the XL pipeline, but he's changing some of the parameters, going to renegotiate the deal, whatever. The Clinton presidency was really down on fossil fuel. She was leaning more towards alternative solar, all those things, which isn't a bad thing, but it did look bad for our industry, given the fact that she was no fossil fuel. So that'll play itself out. Certainly, if regulations are streamlined or, things happen in a faster manner, that'll be good for the industry. There's a lot of acreage out here in the West that's federal, and you got to deal with the federal government when you're trying to drill wells on federal land. So it's to be seen. We're positive. We're optimistic. But the main thing right now is gas prices are up over a dollar, and that means a lot to the small producer here out in the West.
Yeah, no, I love it, and I hope I'm a big believer in natural gas. It's like you said, it's a resource that we need to learn how to manage, or like all our resources, and it puts people back to work, which is always good. It's cleaner than some of our other fuel choices, and I hope to bring you back here maybe right after the first quarter and get an update on First Energy Corp.
That would be great, Bert. I would enjoy that opportunity.
All righty. Kevin Norris, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
All right. Thanks, sir. Have a great day.
You bet. Good stuff there from Kevin Norris, CEO of First NRG Corp. It's an energy exploration and production company headquartered in lovely Denver, Colorado. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest, Mike Feeney. Mike Feeney is America's leading mental health speaker and high-energy drum circle facilitator. He delivers educational, engaging, and entertaining presentations to meetings, conferences throughout the world. Mike Feeney, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hello, Bert, and hello to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
You bet, you bet. I got to ask you, first of all, what the heck is a drum circle facilitator, a high-energy drum circle facilitator at that?
Part of my business includes mental health presentations, and the other half of it is doing corporate wellness and team building through drumming. And I have the unique opportunity to work with adults in the workplace and bring drums in and do activities to help leadership and C-suite executives and staff learn to work together better. And that's what I do.
That is cool. That is cool. Leadership, we call it team building by drumming. So you kind of drum it into them.
Yeah, I literally do. Actually, you know, to be honest with you, it turns into a kindergarten classroom, you know, and that's one of the greatest resources to learn about working together.
Yeah, you know what? That is amazing. That sounds like a fun event. And yeah, I could just see it. You know, it would be fun to see a bunch of C-level executives turn into a bunch of kindergartners. And I think as adults, we need that more often than we admit.
No, absolutely. I mean, we all wear shells, and it's funny. How does this relate to mental health? You know, mental health issues and people issues go hand in hand, and you can't have one without the other, in my opinion. So the better we get at learning to be more effective in our relationships and become better communicators and better listeners, the better our mental health will be overall.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. All right, let's talk about this. What got you in this career path? I mean, as far as a mental health speaker, facilitator, is that something that you started off from the get-go, or how did this happen?
I wish I could tell you that I dreamed about doing it as a kid and it manifested, but it totally did, and I actually got forced into this. I was struggling with mental health challenges my whole life, and I'm very, very upfront about that. I'm very transparent about that. I have no shame about it, and it has never hurt any one of my work relationships or personal relationships. And I actually had a mental health breakdown in 2011. And one of the things that we recommend that people do is ask for help when you need help, whether it's just stress or you're experiencing a nervous breakdown. And I did the thing I thought I should do, and I reached out to someone I knew for help, a mental health professional. And I really didn't like her response. I needed a therapist or something, because I wanted to end my life. I was just done. And her response was, well, can I hire you to be my speaker? And I was frustrated because she wasn't listening to me, and I was in crisis. But I eventually said yes and did it, and I guess the rest is history. And I realized that through being a speaker, sharing my story and my challenges with others, there were many other people out there like me who really needed to hear what I had to say, and it really helped them with some of the problems they're experiencing. And so that's how the mental health side developed. And once they found out that I was a drummer and had a history with drumming, they started saying, hey, well, can you create a program for my employees with drumming? And I said, okay, if that's what you want. So that's really how it got started.
Man, that's amazing. And talk about a niche. I want to talk about this because sometimes a lot of people, speakers, but just business owners in general will want to be all things to all people. Hey, I'm a speaker. I can talk about mental health. I can talk about physical fitness. I can talk about, you know, this. I can talk about that. And here you are. You are a mental health, America's leading mental health speaker and high energy drum circle facilitator. That's a pretty niche market. And I understand that you use networking quite a bit to build your business. Talk about this.
Well, you know, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, networking is so important. And like I said, I just want to go back to something I said before. Mental health issues and people issues go hand in hand. And networking is one of the areas that all of us could learn to improve how we develop relationships for the sake of business or community or just friendships, you know. So one of the things that I had to learn to do was build relationships with people. And there's a lot of myths surrounding networking. And for those of you that are listening, I want you to really hear me out on this. Networking really isn't about pitching yourself. It's not about schmoozing with people. I've learned that it's really about being a good person and being willing to help other people out without keeping score. You know, so for instance, Bert, if you needed some help with something, maybe you're looking for a certain type of guest, I would do everything I can to find that guest for you in my network, not expecting you to ever have me on the show again, whatever, just because I want to do that for you because I think you're doing a wonderful thing for our country and for our economy by having this show here. So that's what I've learned about networking, and I think it's a very important lesson for everyone to remember.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And you know what? And I think it was, Zig Ziglar, who his mantra was, if you help enough people get what they want, you eventually get what you want.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, can I say something to that, though? I do remember reading that. I've read that from several different people, including Zig. But what I've actually learned that through the process of just helping people out unconditionally, my happiness has increased significantly. And it becomes not even about things eventually coming back to you, but just the art of giving is a wonderful thing. So I think that's really important, especially for today's youth who are coming out of college into the workforce.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that, just to give for the sake of giving. And, this idea of increasing your happiness, because what's so funny to me, Mike, and I want to get your take on this as a mental health speaker, it seems like a lot of us, maybe all of us, on one level, we're all chasing that happiness thing, right? Whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we confuse it and we think, hey, once I get a certain level of success, once I get that house, that big car, the fancy watch, I'll be happier. And then we realize that those things don't really add to our happiness. They might spike it for a minute or two or whatever, but ultimately it's what you said earlier. It's about people. It's about relationship with people. And I think that, it took me a while to realize that, at least for me, my happiness, I think, is a direct reflection of the levels or the relationships that I have. If I have a bunch of positive relationships, then I'm a much happier person versus having a bunch of negative relationships.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. And, something that I was listening to your last segment with your last guest, and I know you were talking about our new president, and I know that that's a really very controversial, tough subject for a lot of people,
right.
Talking about the new president. And I'm not going to get into politics, but one thing I remind everyone, regardless of who they voted for or whether they like him or don't like him or whatever, it doesn't even matter. Happiness is not about who is elected to president of the United States. It's not about that at all. And a lot of people tend to focus outwardly on things outside of, our control sometimes. And I think it's really important, for all of us to build positive relationships and think about the contributions that we can make, especially as American citizens. That's what's going to build our economy and improve our country.
Yes. You know what? And I totally agree with that. Look, I don't care who you voted for, but I think that, first of all, whether you like him or not, he is the president. Let's give him a chance. And second of all, smashing windows, breaking businesses, destroying property, how is that protesting? How is that showing your relevancy? And how is that making you happier? It's not. I mean, and this is that ridiculousness that I don't know where it's rooted from, but it just seems ridiculous to me that somebody is feeling justified in demolishing somebody else's property because they're frustrated with who's president. It's apples and oranges.
Absolutely. And I'm going to argue that it's not even about freedom of speech at that point. That's about people wanting attention. And I think that's a lot different than trying to affect change. It's one thing to disagree, like you said, but there is no excuse for illegal, abusive behavior on anyone's part. And we have wonderful tools like blogs, YouTube, where people can express themselves, and they can express themselves and the world will listen. So I think it's really important for all of us who want to express ourselves. I encourage everyone to, but use wonderful mediums that we have today, like the internet, like the radio, get on radio shows, get on TV, and talk to other people.
Absolutely. Well, look, you know, last year, one of my favorite events that happened last year was these fast food workers who united together, and they, you know, they wanted a raise, and I think they wanted to raise the, you know, they wanted to get $15 an hour, and they didn't destroy property. You know, they united, they made valid protests, they made marches, they made YouTube shows. As you mentioned, they got on TV, they got on radio, and they made a positive change without hurting people or destroying property.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, the more of us that open our mouths about what's appropriate and what's not, and this is true for any aspect of life, I mean, whether it be your business, whether it be your church, whatever it is, when you open your mouth and say if something is wrong, that's going to be a catalyst for change. And then you can do it in a very calm, professional way. You know, I do it all the time. I have to share about mental illness with the world. You know, I'm throwing my stuff out there. And I have to sit there and deal with people who come back at me and say, Mike, what if my family finds out about this? Or what if my coworkers find out? And I have to be the one to stand up and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. You are you, and if you have some struggles, you have some struggles, and it's totally cool. And once you're comfortable with yourself, everything works out. And you know what? I'm really proud to say that in our society, one of the reasons you and I are talking right now even is because mental health is becoming a more popular topic. I'm not acting out. I'm not smashing windows. You know, I'm just sitting there just talking about it. And I think it's a simple, maybe a boring thing for many people to hear, but very important.
Yeah, you know what, and I want to you know, say amen to that. I think that's fantastic, and something that you said I think is a fundamental building block of success, and that is being comfortable with yourself. If you are comfortable with yourself, then that adds to your happiness. Nothing makes you more miserable than trying to hide who you are, trying to hide, you know, the fact that you're you know, whatever, challenged in one way or the other. And I think the more you accept yourself, other people will accept you. And you know, I think that we see this time and time and time again. We see people who put themselves out there like you're doing, Mike, and people will accept you. And the reality is, whether you have mental or physical challenges, you will not be liked by everybody. You know, you could be the absolutely most normal, most beautiful person out there, and not everybody's going to like you. Kim Kardashian, who a lot of people do like, she's very beautiful, but a lot of people don't like her. They just, you know, there's no such thing as 100%. So just put yourself out there and cultivate the relationships that are sincerely like you and accept you for who you are.
Yeah, and can I just add one final thing to that? I'm loving this conversation, so thank you again for having me on your show. And for those of you that are listening, this is very important because I think it summarizes all of it in what you just said. I've learned for me that it's not about people liking you. When I get focused on that, that can lead down to a slippery slope in my head with stress and other mental health issues. And I think for a lot of us that struggle, we all struggle with issues of feeling loved and things that have happened in the past. But what I've learned to focus on is not people liking me, but people trusting me. And that's a much different thing. I have many people in this world who absolutely have told me to my face they do not like me, but they trust me. And I think that's important for all of us to remember in building relationships. The goal is not to be liked. The goal is to be trusted.
Yes. I think that's a fantastic way to wrap that up. I love that. I want to go back and talk about, you had mentioned some of your, you know, how you got into this career path. And I want to back this up and talk about this because, you know, you were hospitalized as a child. You were expelled from three schools. You attempted suicide. You were medicated, and you had some behavioral issues. And this was like early on. I mean, it sounds like this is like elementary school, junior high. Talk about this.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny, as you said that, I'm thinking in my head that, geez, that kid had problems, whoever you're talking about. Well, I sum it up by saying to people, I was expelled from three schools in my childhood. I was in the hospital, mental hospital, three times. I was on a first-name basis with everyone in the local emergency room because the police were bringing me in because I was constantly in crisis. And I tried to take my own life several times, and I self-harmed, and I acted out violently at home. I'm not proud of that, but that's the reality, and actually this is something that happens in a lot of homes across the country. There are teenagers and youth that are acting out violently against their parents, and no one is talking about it, and it's a problem. And my parents, I had some good parents who loved me and cared about me and were educated, but no one could figure out what was going on with me. No one could figure out. And to be very honest with you, right after I'm done with this interview, I'm actually headed into Manhattan to go to therapy for an hour and a half because that's what we do on Wednesdays, because I'm still trying to work out these issues. And so what I really learned, you know, looking back, is that I had a lot of emotional trauma and I was never taught to process my feelings. And this is a big issue, especially for men, because men are just told to man up. We're not told
right.
to work through sadness. You know, if you and I are hanging out in the bar and I start crying, you know, I might get made fun of, you know?
Yes.
That's a really big issue with men. And so what I had to learn is that I can still be a healthy, masculine man and still have emotions and still express emotions, and it's okay. And so this is something that I'm still working through. It's a daily challenge, I promise you. And that's really what I've learned. And on a positive note, just to let everyone know, and again, if you are listening and you are on any kind of mental health medication, please seek the help of a professional when it comes to guidance with that. But right now, I'm 37 years old. I'm on no mental health medication. My medication is my drumming. It's my friends. It's good people. It's meditation and exercise.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to talk about this, too, because I think that, you know, one of the things that I have found when it comes to mental health, and I want to get your input on this, is that self-talk, those affirmations, the chronic talking that we do in our heads, right? So you mentioned earlier on that, you know, sometimes we think of ourselves as not being worthy or not being lovable or acceptable or things of that nature. And that is a lot of that comes from an internal conversation that we're having with ourselves.
Absolutely. It comes from an internal conversation, and it also comes from other sources. And I'm a big believer in attacking things on multiple levels. And again, I wanted to go back to the lovely beginning of our conversation here, when we're talking about people skills and mental health. It's important to develop not only your self-talk and what you say to yourself and things that you think and better behavior and better emotional regulation, but also people skills at the same time. Because at the end of the day, if I start really working on my self-talk, but I'm around negative people that cause me pain, it kind of doesn't matter what I work on. I'm still going to be bumping into a wall of negativity and toxic experiences that are going to make my mental health progressively worse. So I think it's really important to do both. Take care of yourself in terms of your self-talk and how you learn to process your feelings. And that's the other thing I wanted to say to everyone listening, learning to talk about your feelings. You know, learning to say, I feel sad. I feel angry. I feel frustrated. It's just not something you usually hear from people. You know, ask anyone how they're doing. They say, fine, how are you? You know? And so I think it's a really important thing as a society that we learn to just talk about this stuff.
Yes. No, I love that. I love that. All right. So I want to talk about this a little bit. You and I have talked a little bit before the show, and we talked about and I like the fact that you said that you are an entrepreneur yourself. You're a small business owner yourself. And so let's talk a little bit about, your business. Are you a one employee company, or do you have yourself and a couple employees? Talk about the size of your company.
Sure. It's just me as the sole employee, and I actually subcontract work out to contractors to do a few other things, including my assistant who works virtually. And that's pretty much my business. And my business right now has been growing steadily each year. And again, it's not where I want it to be, but whose business is. But it's been really a nice journey being an entrepreneur, because, you know, I'm a big believer in entrepreneurship and what it can teach you about yourself. You know, for me, entrepreneurship taught me a lot about, go back to people, learning to sell myself and learning to do that in a way that's authentic and a way that's ethical. And learning to market myself and using today's technology to build content and focus on helping people. And ultimately, you know, I don't usually say this, but I can say it right now because you inspired me to think about this, it's been a spiritual journey, you know, to learn to help someone else. And I always say, one of my favorite things about being an entrepreneur, I'm stealing this from Rabbi Daniel Lapin in his book, Thou Shalt Prosper. But being an entrepreneur is very simple in my mind. You add value to someone's life or solve a problem, and in exchange, you get this green certificate that goes in your wallet and then goes into the bank. And
I love
when
that.
I think that. Yeah, it's really simple. And if you want to, if you help more people, add more value to more people's lives, solve more problems, guess what? You get more green certificates that go in your wallet and go to the bank. And it's just been a really powerful lesson in people and spirituality for me.
I love that. I love that. You know what? I think that is so, you know, I love that take. I love the idea of these green certificates. And if you guys want to find out more about Mike Venny, you can go to Mike Venny. That's Mike. VENY.com. That's Mike, VENY.com. And you can find out more about Mike and his corporate drumming team building, as well as some of his other stuff there. And Mike, how do you market yourself primarily? Do you, we talked about networking. Do you use online marketing as well or Facebook ads? How do you market yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Well, one thing I want to just remind everyone who's listening, especially if there are entrepreneurs listening, it's important to have a written marketing plan as a component of a business plan. And that's actually the number one thing that I do is have a written plan. Even if you write it on a napkin, write down something.
Yes.
And so I think it's really important to do. I market myself in several ways. What's been really effective for me is YouTube, actually. A lot of my videos rank high for certain keywords, and that's a form of online marketing and search engine optimization. In addition, if you type the word mental health speaker in Google, I usually come up in the top three results in Google throughout the country, and that's been really helpful for me learning how to produce content that leads to higher rankings in the search engine. Because think about it, most people who are looking for your product or service go to their phone and Google it. And most of us are real busy. We don't have time to go to page 2 and 3 of Google. We just want to see what the best shoe shine is in Duluth, Minnesota. So, you know.
That's right.
That's it. And so it's really important to have some kind of search engine optimization going for your products and services. And that's really the basis of what I do. The other thing is learning to ask for referrals. And I think that's been a huge thing. And notice I said I don't expect them. I've learned to ask. And I've learned to ask in a way that's authentic. I simply ask people, who do you know that I should know? In fact, Bert, after we get off this call, I can say to you, look, thank you for having me on the show. Who do you know that I should know? Maybe you might want to suggest some friends that I contact.
I love that. I love that. And you know what? What's so nice about that is that it's very low key. You know, you're not necessarily asking for a business referral. Who do you know that I should know? Could be, hey, you know what? I want you to know this person. Maybe, you know, they may not hire you as a speaker, but maybe they might buy one of your products, or maybe it's just somebody that they want you to know that leads to who knows what down the road. So I like that. And so how many videos do you do? Do you do like a weekly video, a monthly video?
I really should be. I have it in my plans this year to do more with Facebook Live. But actually, I have over 120 videos, I think, on YouTube. And
nice.
The videos are just, again, go back to what I said before about helping people, adding value and solving problems. A lot of them are my mental health presentations. Some of them are examples of how I use the drumming to help groups of people. And there's just a lot for people to check out on my channel. So I really encourage people to visit my YouTube channel and check that out. And also learning to be clear in the video descriptions about what the video is about. A lot of people don't realize it's not just about putting up a video, but being clear in the description and inviting others to come see your video.
I love it. I love it. Mike Venny, America's leading mental health speaker. Thanks so much for stopping by today. It's been a fun experience. Looking forward to having you back again.
Thank you so much, Bert, and have a great day.
All righty. Good stuff there from America's leading mental health speaker, Mike Venny. That's VENY.com, MikeVenny.com. Check him out. Check out his YouTube videos. They're all over the place, and you can type in Mike Vinny, or you can type in a mental speaker, and Mike Vinny will pop up. So there's several ways of getting there. You know, I just enjoyed today's guest so much. I hope that you enjoyed him as much as I did. And as always, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.